Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to the book of Acts. We are starting chapter 3, Acts chapter 3. This is God's Word. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 p.m. Now, a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Now, if you read on from there, you get Peter's explanation of what had happened and his evangelistic message calling the listeners and the observers to repentance. And then in chapter 4, you're going to get the objection of those who were the religious leaders who were angered by the truth that was being proclaimed by the apostles. And so Peter and John are going to get hauled into court, if you will, for having done this thing and then told the truth about it. That's quite remarkable. But since we don't have time to go through all of that this morning, I want us to focus, and I believe God wants us to focus, on the opening verses, much as we did in chapter 2 when we looked at what happened on the day of Pentecost in the way of the Holy Spirit being poured out, and then subsequently looked at Peter's sermon about what had happened. Okay? So following the same pattern here, you've got this supernatural thing that God does. We're going to make some observations about that. And then, God willing, next time, we're going to look at what Peter says about that and how people respond to it. Let's look at what happened. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer. What do you suppose they were going there to do? To pray, of course. Now, the Holy Spirit has already come upon them. God himself is living in them. But they are still going where people go for prayer, in order to pray. This was absolutely vital to the life of the early Christians. Fortunately, we don't have to do that sort of thing now because, well, maybe we should. Maybe we ought to be much more eager to meet with others for prayer. But they were going up there at the time of prayer, and then he says at 3 p.m, because not everybody reading the book of Acts will be an insider who knows how the Jews prayed at certain watches through the day. And so he's saying at 3 p.m. Remember, Luke is writing to Theophilus, not exactly a Jewish name. Now, a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate. He wasn't hobbling up there. This guy was so crippled that the only way he could get there was for other people to bring him. And they did. Every day. He was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. This was not something unusual that happened. So far, everything is just going like normal. Peter and John going up to pray because it's time for prayers. This guy being carried there and set down because it's time for prayers and there's going to be a group of people going by. This was what happened every day, it says. He was brought there to beg. And so he did what he usually did, and when he's asking for some money, he doesn't even look up. He saw Peter and John about to enter. He asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. If you and I are going to help people who are in need, we have to pay attention to them. Peter and John looked straight at him. Then Peter said, "Look at us." Again, this guy had already, he'd seen somebody was coming. He started asking for money, but he wasn't really paying attention to them. And a lot of people, you can rest assured, who would walk by there would not really pay attention to him. Peter and John did. And they said, "Now, pay attention to us. Look at us." And then Peter says something that is quite important. The guy looked up, expecting to get something from them, and Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have, I give you." I mean, just think about that for a moment. Peter and John weren't walking around with a bunch of money. You cannot give what you don't have. If you want to encourage other people, you need to be encouraged. If you want your loved ones to have peace, you need to seek peace from the Lord. Philippians 4 tells us where we'll find it. You live like this, it says, then you will have the peace of God. And in fact, you'll have the God of peace. But if I preach to you about peace, you're not going to get peace here. You understand? Because it's not just the words that are spoken, it's the Spirit that is bestowed. And you and I cannot give what we don't have. So it's not that we're just supposed to be selfish, but it is that we need to have integrity. We need to be authentic. And Peter and John didn't give this guy some money, which most of us could do. Most of us could have given that man some money. But Peter said, "I don't have silver or gold. But what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." And he reached out, took the man by the hand, lifted him to his feet, and as the man stood, he was totally healed. And he leaped to his feet, it says. He jumped up and he began walking, which is what he'd been told to do. And he began jumping and praising God. What a fabulous miracle. Isn't that wonderful? Well, what about today? I mean, does God still heal? Yes. We've talked about this before. We've had folks in this church who were healed. But it's not exactly just kind of, boom, on command. Okay? We're going to have a special service here tonight. Anyone with hearing problems, I feel a special anointing for hearing problems. If you have a hearing problem, you come tonight because I believe God's going to heal you. Can God do that kind of thing? Sure, absolutely. Is that usually what's going on in those meetings? No, absolutely not. But you do believe, Pastor, that God still heals miraculously today? Absolutely. I know he does. I know he does. I've experienced instantaneous supernatural healing that was impossible to mistake for something else. And I had been to the doctor and I had a diagnosis. It was strep, and it doesn't go away like that unless somebody is directed by God to lay hands on you and pray for your healing, and it instantaneously, boom, goes away. All the congestion in my sinuses was gone. My throat was no longer sore. My glands were no longer swollen. I was instantaneously healed. It felt as if, when that man laid his hands on my head, that he had... You know what a TENS unit is? You know those little electrical devices, battery and wires, and it gives a slight electrical impulse that helps distract your body from the muscle spasm you're having or whatever. Anybody here ever use a TENS unit? Okay, good. I'm not alone. Well, this was kind of like he had put a TENS unit on my head, but he'd hooked it up to a car battery. Okay? I mean, it wasn't like a little tingle. It was like a jolt of electricity. And it went all through me, and I was instantaneously healed. So if anybody says, well, you know, how do you know it wasn't psychological? I don't have any questions or wonders about that. I know what God did. So, wow, how recent was that? That was when I was a teenager, okay? Thank God he did that for me then because it helped me get my doctrine straight. And I didn't have to spend decades thinking that God doesn't do that sort of thing anymore. God does do that kind of thing still today, whenever he sees fit. But now, it is for that very reason that we need to think about something else. And that is, this guy, we find out in chapter 4, was 40 years old. He's about 40 years old. And every day for years, he had been brought to this place and set there to beg. Everybody recognized him. Everybody knew him. But Jesus went up to the temple lots of times and apparently didn't see fit to heal this guy. You ever think about that? I mean, this guy's been sitting there. Jesus comes to the temple. Jesus, who is famous for healing people. And after Jesus dies and rises again and ascends into heaven, this guy is still being carried to the temple, set there by the gate beautiful, so that he can beg for money. Why didn't Jesus heal this man? You want to know the answer? Jesus did heal this man. Jesus is the one who healed him. But Jesus did it at the right time. And many of us think God has denied our request because God has delayed the answer that we wanted. We were hoping God was going to do this now. And God has not seen fit to do it right now. Can you think of somebody that Jesus really loved? We've talked about this before. Someone Jesus really loved. And when Jesus was told that he was sick, and they wanted Jesus to come to heal him, Jesus didn't go. Jesus delayed. Jesus waited. Why? Because Jesus only did what the Father told him to do. And he only said what the Father told him to say. And Jesus said that was the reason why he was able to do the miracles that he did. And so he waited until Lazarus was dead and buried, and then he shows up. Was that just mean? No, it was obedience. He loved Lazarus. But he only did what the Father told him to do. Okay, so I shouldn't blame Jesus when my prayers don't get answered the way I want right away. I need to blame my Heavenly Father. Boy, now I feel better. No, you shouldn't blame anybody. You should trust your Heavenly Father. Who knows best? Lazarus would just be one of the guys Jesus healed if Jesus had come right away and healed him. I mean, Jesus did many other miraculous things that are not written in this book. Lazarus might just be one of them, except for the fact that Jesus waited until Lazarus was dead, and then he came and brought him to life. Now that's a healing. He didn't just heal him. He delivered him out of death. Wow! And as I routinely say when talking about Lazarus, we're going to have him here next week to share his testimony. Right? No. Why? He's dead. He died again? Yeah. So did everybody in here, including this guy, who got healed at age 40. We die. Our bodies wear out. When I get prayer requests for people in their 90s who are having health problems, and you know, it's like, please pray, we're afraid they might die. If I'm still alive in my 90s and I have a health problem, please pray the Lord will take me. Pastor Wood, are you? Are you maybe suffering with depression? No, I'm not depressed. But you're saying that you would be very happy to go on to heaven. Yes! I've always longed for heaven. Because I long to be with Jesus. Not just to love the Lord. I love the Lord now. But I still blow it sometimes. And I just long for the day when that'll never happen anymore. There'll be nothing that I'll ever have to say, Lord, I'm sorry. Oh, what a day that'll be.
1 Corinthians 15:58 says, therefore, my dear brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always excelling in the Lord's work, knowing that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. This is a good word for the staff at Ware's Valley Ranch. As we serve children from very difficult situations, we trust in the Lord to supply our needs, especially the essentials. That's where our ranch hands step in. Ranch hands are our monthly donors, and we would be sunk without them. We thank God for those who are helping with the necessities with monthly gifts, regardless of the amount. You can become a ranch hand at WVR.org. Look for the donate button to learn more about how you can help.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So, Jesus did heal this man. He healed him through his word being spoken by his servants, Peter and John. Peter said, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." What does that mean, in the name of? If you're doing something in the name of someone, you need to be doing what they told you to do. Okay? And you need to be doing it because they told you to do it. The reason that Peter was able to say to this man, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk," was because Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who now by the Holy Spirit was living in and through Peter, said, "Say to this man, walk." And so Peter didn't say, "Watch what I can do." Peter said, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." He was able to give that command to a crippled man because the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, told him to. That's when miracles happen. When God's people act in faith and obey. And so, at the right time, Jesus healed this man. Now, why would he wait until then? Well, we don't know what may have been going on in this man's life. I don't think that's what it's about. What everybody needs to know is how to be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. And what Jesus was doing in this miracle was to manifest the fact that he's still here. He's alive, he conquered death, and he is still here in the lives of his people. See, Jesus went to and from the temple. He was in the temple a lot, day after day after day after day, and this guy is sitting there begging for alms. And Jesus didn't heal him until it was time. Because what matters is not our physical healing. Physical healing is wonderful. I've got a list of people I'm praying for multiple times a day. And I will be so thrilled to see any or all physically healed. But everybody on my list is going to die unless Jesus comes first. But the important thing is the people I'm praying will be saved. The people who don't know him yet. The people who are not ready to die. People who will not be stepping into a world that is so much better than this one. But people who may think they've got problems in this life, but it's nothing compared to what awaits them because of their continued refusal to trust in Jesus. What do you want God to do for you? Well, I'd like him to do something about this, or about this, or about this. He did this for you. Trust him. Trust him. He knows what you really need. And he loves you more than you love you. I mean, he really, 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 really loves you. He loved you enough to lay down his life. Jesus said, "Greater love has no one than this." And he lays down his life for his friends. And then he laid his life down for his friends. And he says to us, "I call you friends. I love you. Don't be afraid to trust him. He's trustworthy. He gave his life for you. So I wish he'd do something about this problem." Well, he will do whatever is best. What more could we ask?
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.